But I think especially for employers, there's also a lot of opportunity with a workforce that's getting older and, you know, can offer a lot of things that younger workers can't.
So, and I think there's all this focus on the younger workers because they're the ones who are able to, you know, they're mobile and everything. And not as nearly as much attention these days given to the older workforce. Is that a mistake?
Yeah, I think it's a huge mistake. I mean, first, just in terms of the demographics, the workforce is getting older, and some of that is the baby boomers who are just bigger, but it's mainly because of life expectancy. You know, the average person born now will live about 10 years longer than the person born 1950. And most of that new life expectancy, longer years, are healthy years. So people are living a lot longer and living healthier. So they're going to be around more, and they need to work, and most of them want to work. So it's a much bigger demographic than any of these Generation X, Y, Z or things that are coming along.
And part of what you write about in the book is that it almost requires a little bit of a different management practices, management. It's not just cookie cutter.
Yeah, you can't probably manage older workers the same way, but I'd say the big issue is not so much the older workers, it's the younger supervisors. And the issue there is that the younger supervisors, and there are more of them because there are more people coming back into the workforce and working part-time who are older, and also a lot of executives and just regular old managers are getting those jobs younger. So you see an awful lot more younger supervisors and older subordinates. And that's the root of the problem. And I think the issue really is that younger supervisors often just feel they can't manage anybody who has more experience than they have, so they don't hire them. And if they do hire them or they do have to manage them, they just kind of ignore them because they're afraid of them.
So how do you deal with that?
Well, as you were saying, I think it's a different management style. I think things that we know don't work are telling somebody who's older and more experienced, do this because I say so, you know, and do this because I know best, because you don't know best. And I think we also know that for people who are at the end of their career, the idea of trying to bribe them, you know, and say, if you do a great job, we'll give you a great bonus, or, you know, stay here, you'll have great security, that doesn't sell very well either. So you really have to engage them more, which is a perfectly reasonable way to manage anyway. That's sort of a partnership model. See this sort of explicitly, the Marine Corps has developed this, because if you think about it, they've got lieutenants and junior officers who are in charge of much more experienced sergeants and have had that problem forever. And they basically realize that you really have to partner with these folks, older folks, and say, you know, look, I am the boss, I am in charge of this stuff, but I need your help. And let's see if we can figure out together how to do this, and, you know, tell me what you think. It sounds pretty simple, but for many people it's a hard thing to pull off.
One of the other things you write about is you talk about forging the social connections, because a lot of older folks either coming back into the workforce or staying in the workforce, primarily because it provides them with some kind of social aspect.
Yeah. I think that's certainly right. Not only social aspect, but meaningful work. I think we find older workers are especially motivated by doing tasks that seem to matter. The interesting thing about that is in that sense, they are almost exactly like the very youngest workers who seem to be very motivated by doing meaningful work and more interested in the social aspects of work than in maybe sometimes, you know, the more career-focused aspects. So the younger and the very old seem to have a lot in common.
One of the things that I found really interesting as I was going through your book, and in the federal government we find it true all the time, is the mission. And most people become feds because they're very passionate about the mission of the particular agency. And that's true, it seems to me, very true for younger folks, but it's particularly true for a lot of the older workers.
Yes, I think that idea of having a broad mission for your work, we know seems to be motivating for everybody, and especially for folks who are maybe freer from some of the constraints of middle-aged workers, you know, who need the money, who really have all these commitments, they can't quit, they don't have a lot of options, and so they're more willing to hunker down and do boring stuff or work on tasks that don't seem to matter very much. But, you know, if you have some choice, issues of motivating work seem to matter a lot. But, you know, there's all kinds of ways you can do it. It doesn't necessarily have to be that the overall mission of the organization is, you know, improving humanity. You could be in an organization that is, you know, the overall mission is not quite so ennobling, but you've got particular tasks that involve projects and things where you can actually see the outcomes, and that motivates people. Where you have to or do engage with other people, that's more motivating as well, especially for older workers. So you got some discretion as to how you can structure things.
We're talking to Peter Capelli. He's a professor of management at the Wharton School and author of Managing the Older Worker, How to Prepare for the New Organizational Order. Are there things that big bosses can do to help manage this in a more effective way? What should they be doing?
Well, I think at the very top of the agencies, top of organizations, the big issue to address is discrimination. The amount of discrimination against older workers seems to be much bigger, actually, than the amount of discrimination against women and minorities. So it's a big deal, and the biggest problem is just getting people in the door. And one of the ways you can do that is by looking at the recruiting process. And in many cases, the recruiting process is pretty discriminatory, or at the very least, it scares people away who have more experience. You know, things like age-limiting or experience-limiting requirements that say we're looking for somebody with 5 to 10 years' experience. Why is that? Is it somebody with 15 years' experience can't do the job? You know, I mean, do you really need those kinds of restrictions?
But we often get into that thing about somebody being overqualified for a job.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of amazing when you think about it.
Yeah.
We'd say you're overqualified, you're too good, we want somebody who's not as good for this job.